You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's Middleton, puts up a little floater, count it with a foul.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Milton wants another three, pulls up, and he fires and hits another one right over Pat Connaughton, who couldn't hang. Bean takes it all the way to the cup on the other side, couple long strides, and lays it in on the finger roll.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, not the start to the trip that you anticipated, and there's just something about Memphis and being in Memphis that brings out weird outcomes here and just strange concurrences overall. As remember, early into this Bucks campaign, it wasn't even the regular season. The preseason game in Memphis against the Grizzlies, we didn't even finish the game. There was a fire in the building. And by the way, that happened elsewhere tonight. But there was a fire in the building, didn't finish the game. That was the start to the road slate of games for the Bucks in the preseason. And then tonight, no Drew Holiday, so you were a little bit curious to see how can the Bucks defend the point of attack for the Memphis Grizzlies, even without Ja Morant. I want to get to the numbers on what Memphis is doing without Ja Morant, because it's remarkable. It is fascinating. You did have Giannis and Chris, but there's a couple of takeaways. One, the Memphis Grizzlies are a really, really good team. Now, I'm going to be curious to see how this translates in the postseason and what their matchup is, but they're a really good team. And they have a good mixture of veterans who have been in postseason battles and young guys that are on the rise and starting to improve as well. In the case of Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Ja Morant and what he's done for this team. So they got a good mixture of players. They have a very good young coach in Taylor Jenkins. They have some veterans and guys that have been through the postseason. I don't think anybody particularly loved the Steven Adams deal in the offseason, but it's paying some dividends for this Grizzlies team. So that's one to keep an eye on. We pay a lot of attention to the Suns, the Warriors, if they can get healthy, and think, okay, it's one of these two teams coming out of the West, but keep an eye on the Memphis Grizzlies and their matchup. So you knew it was going to be a tough matchup. You did have Giannis and Chris back. In the first half, at times it looked like maybe Giannis was not quite 100% and still favoring that knee. He just didn't seem to have that same explosion. He took off in the second half and quietly gets you to 30 points. But you are not going to beat many teams, and especially a team as good as the Memphis Grizzlies. You are not going to win those games in this league when you give up as many points as the Bucks did by missing as many open looks as they missed in this game. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. The takeaways from this game is sometimes you just get your butt kicked and you just have to regroup and move on. You get 2 days off and you got a big game. I think there are two huge games left on the schedule for the Bucks. I know there are two huge games left on the schedule, and one of those is on Tuesday, your next game. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. It was a tough loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time recapping this game. I want to talk about the Eastern Conference and how this conference is going to shake out, because what the Miami Heat have done, and it continued tonight, is leave the door wide open for every single team two through four behind them. And even at this point, it's left ajar, just cracked open slightly, just slightly, for the Chicago Bulls as well. But we went from two weeks ago, saying, I think it's a foregone conclusion. Miami is probably going to finish with the one seed. If you're the Bucks, maybe three, maybe two. It's not going to be any lower than four, but Miami seems to have this to, it could be one of four teams that finish with the best record in the Eastern Conference. And oh, by the way, do you want that number one seed? Do you want the two seed? Because of what is potentially lurking there for you in the first round. But the number to get in touch with us, 855-616-1620. It's a tough loss to the Grizzlies, but how do you view these final few games for the Bucks. It's not so much a strategy of, well, do you play to win? What is going to happen down the stretch here in the Eastern Conference? Because I kept saying, not only were the Heat going to win the regular season, but I kept saying and telling you, well, there's a tough stretch that the Bucks have. We're currently in it with Memphis, Philly, and Brooklyn. It looks even tougher now than it did a week ago for one reason. One thing changed, and I'll tell you what it is after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Said if we make those in our open threes, we'll be in business. Lopez wants to try his hand on another three, and he'll rattle that one through from the right wing. So Brook has put the Bucks ahead by 2, 9-7 with back-to-back threes.
Well, just watching the first few minutes of this game in the first quarter, it's hard to believe things went the way they did because it seemed like an entirely different game. What we saw in the first few minutes of the opening quarter versus the entire game, basically, the final three quarters for the Bucks. In that quarter, you still scored 28 points. You were outscored by only four, but a disastrous second quarter, and this has popped up a couple of times for the Bucks that the Grizzlies did not shoot the ball particularly well in that second quarter, less than 40%, and they still expanded and more than doubled their lead, went from 4 to 13 at halftime, despite shooting 37% in the second quarter. But in the first for the Bucks, Chris Middleton scored 9 points, hit 3 shots. Giannis, we talked about the start to the game, but 3 of 9 in that opening quarter. You still got 9 from Chris, 7 from Giannis, 6 from Brook Lopez on a pair of threes in the opening quarter. It's what happened in the final three quarters of the game where all of that just disappeared. And as we said, a team as good as the Grizzlies are, you're not going to beat them when you miss some of those open looks and good shots that the Bucks worked for and got throughout the duration of this game. So you can't give the Grizzlies too many extra opportunities. They'll take advantage. And the Bucks are in the same boat. Bucks are one of those teams, too. If you give them the extra chances, they will beat you. But you know, think back to that second quarter especially. Second and third quarter, it seemed like it happened repeatedly. How many times did the Grizzlies have a possession where they get the offensive rebound, they get another offensive rebound, you give them 2 or 3 chances, any team, and especially a team as good as the Grizzlies, but any team, the more chances you give them, they're going to beat you. And that's what happened in those two quarters. The Bucks just gave up too many second chances, and the Grizzlies took what was a promising start and turned it into a total blowout in Memphis. 855-616-1620. So a disappointing start to the road trip. But I want to look past tonight's game. I want to take a look at the rest of this road trip and the rest of this season, for that matter, for the Bucks. 8 games remain. There are 2 huge games remaining. And really, this Brooklyn Nets game is a big game as well. The game you have next Sunday in 8 days, 7 days from today, is a big game as well against a team that's been playing very well since December, not the Boston Celtics, the Dallas Mavericks. So you got some big games, but there are 2 huge games, and the first of those 2 is the next one up for the Bucks. So I do want to spend some time talking about these next 8 games, and it's not even how do you approach it. What's going to happen in the rest of the East? Because the point I made before we went to break, I do want to get to that in just a second here, because it ties in to who the Bucks play next. But to round out the point of give a team an inch and they'll take a mile, the Memphis Grizzlies, the one stat you really need to know from tonight's game, it is our stat of the game.
Everybody in here, stat?
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
All right, so the Bucks had 14 offensive rebounds. Not bad. 46 boards overall. Now, they had more rebounding opportunities than the Grizzlies since they shot less than 40%. The Memphis Grizzlies had 16 offensive rebounds. They shot close to 50% from the floor, and they still had 16 offensive rebounds, but that is not the stat. On those 16 reloads the Grizzlies had, they turned them into 22 points. So they basically scored two out of every three times they got an offensive board. The Bucks had 14 offensive rebounds, which resulted in seven second chance points. Not good. And now that doesn't tell the story of the game, but a 15-point difference there on the second chance opportunities, that tells a lot of this game and enough to be our stat of the game. So next up for the Bucks, the Philadelphia 76ers. And this is one of those two huge games. I had said for the last 2 weeks, now I'm 0-1 on Miami is pretty clearly going to win the regular season in the East. But I also said this stretch that you look at where you see Memphis, Philly, Brooklyn, on paper it looks really tough, really tough. But I feel like as we get to that point of the schedule, it's not going to be quite as tough as it looks because we've seen enough of a sample size from Philadelphia that they don't want that two seed. Go back 2 weeks ago, the Heat had, I believe, a three-game lead. It might have been 3.5, and it was kind of teetering with teams like the Bucks and the Sixers. The Celtics were all of a sudden entering the chat room and getting to 5 and 4 and starting to climb, but you still thought, okay, it's a nice story what Boston is doing, but they're probably stuck at around 4th. Maybe 5th, maybe they can get up to 4th. Because of that, you thought number one is going to Miami. So the Sixers, the Bucks, maybe the Celtics if they keep this rolling, you're playing for 2nd. And if you're the Sixers, what does 2nd mean? In all likelihood, it means the Brooklyn Nets are who you play in the first round of the playoffs. We saw what happened on that Thursday night national game where those two teams faced off following the trade that sent James Harden from Brooklyn to Philadelphia, and Brooklyn just housed them. And then you saw the 76ers start to rest guys, and they sat players against the Miami Heat. Not this week, a couple of weeks ago. They sat players again against the Heat earlier this week. You started to rest Joel Embiid, which is understandable on back-to-backs, but what wasn't understandable was, wait a minute, why aren't you playing him against the tougher teams? Like, you're playing him against, I think it was the Kings, and then resting him against the Heat? So you started to get the assumption, yeah, Philadelphia doesn't want the two seed. They don't want the chance of Brooklyn wins the play-in tournament, we finish 2nd, we play Brooklyn, we trade this player from Brooklyn, we trade for him, and with this player we got from the Nets, we lose. So you started to get the sense, yeah, Philadelphia is going to go out of their way to get to 3rd. You can no longer plan on that. I was coming into this week thinking, I wonder, when we get to Monday, what's that injury report going to look like for the 76ers? Who's going to be listed as questionable or out, potentially? Because, you know, we're tied with the Bucks or we're close to the Bucks. Let's let the Bucks take this game so we can guarantee 3rd. Well, now all of a sudden, with what Miami has done, 4 straight losses now for the Miami Heat. And they're in this stretch where the majority of their games are being played at home. I think they have 11 out of 12 that they're currently in that stretch. 11 of 12 at home. And they have left this door wide open. So I think that changes the overall approach for the 76ers, where you see, wait, Miami is not guaranteed to be the one seed now. We need to start winning here. And if you're the Miami Heat, 4 straight losses. You play the Kings on Monday, and that's another home game. That is the end to that stretch we talked about where 11 of 12 were at home. It started after they went on the road and beat the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets the first week in, or lost to the Bucks and beat the Nets the first 2 days of March. But then they had the Sixers, and that was the game where Philadelphia rested everyone. They had the Sixers, the Rockets, the Suns, the Cavs, the Timberwolves, the Pistons, the Thunder. And then they went to Philadelphia and lost. And then they came back home, lost to the Warriors, lost to the Knicks, lost today. This week, too, for the Miami Heat. Go on the road, lose to Philadelphia in a game where Joel Embiid doesn't play, James Harden doesn't play. It's Tyrese Maxey that ends up being the killer in that game. Tyrese Maxey. Then, on Wednesday, still at home, go back home. You lose to the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry doesn't play. It wasn't a Klay Thompson game. It was Jordan Poole. Then last night, you take a 17-point lead in the second half, and you lose to the lifeless New York Knicks, who have nothing to play for. They are not technically eliminated, but they are not getting in the play-in tournament. And then tonight, utter embarrassment. They were nearly down by 40 to the Brooklyn Nets, who, oh, by the way, it seems like they found their mojo. So for the Miami Heat, the Kings on Monday, and then you close the regular season with four of your final six on the road, and it's at Boston, at Chicago, at Toronto, the Hornets, the Hawks, at Orlando. The Kings and the Magic, those are the only two teams you have on the schedule that will not be in the playoffs or the play-in tournament. This should have been the stretch where Miami is looking at it and saying, all right, we had a nice stretch here of 11 of 12 at home. We started that run with back-to-back wins over the Sixers and the Rockets. We lost to the Phoenix Suns, but everybody loses to the Suns. Then you beat the Cavs, and you think, okay, 3-1 start to this 11 out of 12. And then the wheels just start to fall off. Right now should have been the point where Miami is saying, with the eight games we have left, 4-4. 4-4, 5-3, and we got this one seed wrapped up. Said you can't go 4-4 or 5-3 because the Boston Celtics are winning six out of their seven. The Sixers and Bucks are certainly capable of doing that. Miami went from a sure thing number one to they could be fourth in the East, and maybe that's the best case scenario for them or any other team. But Tuesday against Philadelphia is going to be tougher than it originally would have been. I guarantee that. Because the Miami Heat just cannot buy a victory here in this month. And if you look at what these teams have done, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Heat, even the Brooklyn Nets, look at what they've done in the month of March. That, to me, is the most interesting part. Now, I said I whiffed on two predictions, that the Heat would clinch this one seed any day now, that they were guaranteed to win the regular season. Also, that Tuesday against the Sixers wouldn't be that tough because Philly was going to be in full-on tank and avoid the two-seed mode. But there is one, not there yet, but we're at the one-yard line. One thing I told you 3 weeks ago that's about to come to fruition. I'll tell you what it is after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis paused at it, but couldn't gather it in as it's vacuumed in by Conchar. He'll pass off now to Bane. Bane feeds left wing. Three-pointer on the way. Yes, sir. Williams drills it from the left side.
That's just one of those nights where the Memphis Grizzlies, especially when it was a big moment, seemed to hit all of the big shots, and they got a lot of second-chance opportunities in this game. But not so much focused on the Grizzlies' loss as much as we are these final eight games and the way that this month of March has so far changed things drastically in the Eastern Conference. I did tell you, before we began March, I have no statistics to back this up other than you look at the points per 100 possessions with the grouping of Giannis, Chris, and Drew on the floor, the record that the Bucks have with Giannis, Chris, and Drew when they're active and playing. And you did kind of get the sense, any day now going into March, any day now Brook Lopez is coming back. All of that, take it into account. I told you, the Bucks, they got 14 games in March. Nine are on the road. It's an incredibly tough slate of games they have. But they're going to end up winning 10 or more games. I guarantee it. You started with an impressive win over the Heat, and that came after a nice win over the Hornets, which closed February, but the impressive win over the Heat. The Suns, regardless of who played, Suns are still a pretty good team, and you beat them. You destroyed the Thunder. You beat the Hawks. Those are two games you typically struggle with. But then, Evan, you pointed this out. There's something about Saturdays. The Bucks just, there's something about playing on a Saturday. Today, you lose by 25 to the Memphis Grizzlies. Last Saturday, you lose by 19 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Saturday prior to that, you started a four-game road trip, and you lose by 13 to the Golden State Warriors. The Saturday prior to that, or two Saturdays prior to that, I beg your pardon, that was the first game after the All-Star break, where you lost to the Brooklyn Nets in one of your more disappointing losses of the season. Last time the Bucks won on a Saturday was February 5th, when they went on the road and blew out the Portland Trailblazers. So there's something about Saturdays that just have thrown this team off here in March and late February. But right now, you know, the Bucks going into March had 37 wins. They were 37-25. So do the math. They're 9-3. You got two games left. You got to go 1-1. And they will get to 10 wins in a month that they had the toughest schedule of any team. Nine of those 14 were on the road. And again, Miami, Chicago, Phoenix, Golden State, Utah, the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, the Sixers, and the Nets. Those are all teams that you played in the month of March. And the Bucks are coming out in pretty good shape. Probably going to go 10-4, maybe 11-3. But if we go back to March 1st, you know, why we were saying, this is it's seeming like Miami, because on March 1st, the Miami Heat were 41-22. Do you know who was second in the Eastern Conference on March 1st? Any guesses? Evan.
Second in the East on March. Who'd you say was first again?
Heat were first. They were 41-22.
Was it Philly?
It was not Philadelphia. It was the Chicago Bulls.
Should go with my first thought.
The Bulls were second in the Eastern Conference on March 1st. One game back of the Heat. The Bucks and the Sixers were in striking distance. The Bucks were 37-26. The Sixers were third. They were 37-23. The Bucks were fourth. Now they're currently fourth, but they're a half game out of first. They were four games back of the Heat when this month began, and now they're a half game back of the first place Philadelphia 76ers, who were 37-23. And oh, by the way, we're not even mentioning the Boston Celtics. We talk about the Bulls were the second best team. The Celtics were 36-27. They were fifth. And all of a sudden, the Boston Celtics play tomorrow. They play the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that's going to be a tough game. But the Celtics win that game, and they could potentially be in first place on what is tomorrow? March 27th. So less than 3 weeks later, nearly 3 weeks to the day, the Celtics beat the Timberwolves tomorrow, and the 76ers play the Phoenix Suns. If they lose that game, the Boston Celtics will be in first place on March 27th. That is how volatile the Eastern Conference has been for this month of March. But 3 weeks ago, Bucks were in fourth place, four games out of first. They're currently in fourth place, but they're a half game out of first. And now all of a sudden, you're going to go from teams saying, all right, maybe let's take our foot off the gas and play for third or fourth, to teams that are third and fourth right now, hey, we can still win this conference. Even the Chicago Bulls, four games out in the loss column. It's still a lot. It's a big ask. But they're not technically dead at 43-31 from getting into some of those top spots in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. More on this crazy month of March in the Eastern Conference after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Bucks trying to just chip away at that deficit. Entry pass tipped away by Lopez, picked up by Middleton. He feeds ahead to Giannis. Giannis with a couple long strides, glides in, and sends it down with a slam.
All right, so let me correct one thing. The Heat were in first place on March 1st. They were 41-21. The Bulls were in second at 39-23. Sixers were in third at 37-23. And we mentioned the Bucks were 37-25. They were fourth. The Cavs were in fifth, and the Celtics were in sixth. So look at what the Bulls and Cavs have done in this month of March, where they were in the conversation. And now all of a sudden, Cleveland is probably in the play-in tournament. The Bulls are probably guaranteed fifth, maybe sliding down to sixth. The Miami Heat, now, they lose again tonight. It is their fourth straight loss. They don't play tomorrow. The 76ers do play tomorrow. The Heat don't play again until Monday when they host the Sacramento Kings. But we have that tie at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. So the Miami Heat are still currently tied for first place. But if the 76ers win tomorrow, it will be the first time the Miami Heat have not been in first place by themselves or in a tie since February 24th, when the Bulls were 39-21 and the Heat were 38-21. It has been that long since just after the All-Star break. It's basically been since the All-Star break that the Heat have led the Eastern Conference, and now the 76ers have a chance to wrestle the lead away from the Miami Heat. So you look at this Eastern Conference, and the story throughout the season has really been two teams when you look at the top of the standings. When November opened, it was the surprising Chicago Bulls that were leading the East at 6-1. When December opened, it was the Brooklyn Nets, who that was really, up until now, the only good stretch of basketball they had. They were 15-6 and the leaders in the East. When January 1 rolled around, the Bulls started to take over and take occupancy at the top of the Eastern Conference. February 1st, the Bulls still atop the Eastern Conference. Now, in January, you had the Bulls, the Nets, and the Heat all trading off the lead in the conference. In February, the Bulls, the Heat, and then the Bulls taking it back, and then the Heat taking it back. It was those two teams. And now in March, it's been all Miami, but that changes tomorrow if the 76ers win. So it is remarkable to see how much this has changed just in a span of 3 weeks and how everything is on the table and it is wide open. So if the season were to end today, we always love doing this, don't we? If the season were to end today, Sixers would be the one seed. Heat would be the two seed. And that's the other funny part. The Heat have clinched a spot in the playoffs. They're technically in second, and the Sixers technically lead the East with a 630 win percentage. Heat have a 627 win percentage. But yet it's the Heat that have clinched the spot. The Sixers have not, because the Heat have clinched their division, which is just a total disaster. And that's another thing to get into when you look at what Miami has done. The Southeast Conference is a train wreck. You have the Hornets and Hawks, two teams that would be in the play-in tournament, but they're 9-10. The Southeast houses the Heat, the Hornets, and the Hawks, 9-10 seeds, then the Wizards and the Orlando Magic, the worst record in the East. The Central has the 4, 5, and 7 seeds right now, while the Atlantic has the 1, 3, 6, and 8. That is a bloodbath. But the Miami Heat, that's another thing you file away and say, well, let's kind of file this away. They've gone 11-2 in a really, really bad division. Now, the Bucks have gone 10-3 in an okay division. But you look at the Atlantic, the only teams that have played pretty well, the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics, both 9-6 within their division. So what we're saying here is season ends today. Celtics and Raptors is a first-round matchup. Bucks and Bulls is a first-round matchup. Sign me up for that. We have said several times, if you're the Bucks, there are two clear teams. If you're given your choice, you can handpick your first-round opponent. Who do you want? It is either the Bulls or the Cavs. And right now, you would have that in a 4-5 matchup. And not only that, you would probably have the 76ers in the second round. That's another favorable matchup for the Bucks, especially with the return of Brook Lopez. But here's the other big thing. What the Raptors have done recently, 8 wins in their last 10 games. The win today, a dominant win, and the loss by the Cavs means the Raptors have moved into 6. The Cavs are 7. Why that's big is the mandate has been lifted. Kyrie Irving is eligible to play home games in New York. Kyrie Irving is not eligible to play in Canada. So up until the Raptors climbed out of the play-in tournament, the Nets would have went to Toronto to play the 7-8 matchup, and Kyrie would not be eligible to play that game. That is the one thing to file away and say, well, I know Kevin Durant's really good. I know the Nets have looked really good. It's a long-rangey, defensive Raptors team. Siakam's played pretty good. We've seen Fred VanVleet and what he's done in big spots. Maybe this team could beat him, and the Nets have that one other shot to get into the postseason. In a Cavs-Nets matchup, and frankly, any of these teams, the Nets are probably winning. You would just take note of that. Well, if they have to go to Canada and Kyrie can't play, that's interesting. But if it's the Bulls, the Raptors, the Cavs, whoever it is, the Nets are going to win that game. So the Nets would be the 7th seed. It frankly doesn't matter who the 8th seed is. As much as the Eastern Conference has improved, if it's the Raptors, if it's the Cavs, the Hornets, the Hawks, none of those teams are beating the Sixers, Heat, Celtics, or Bucks in a 7-game series. But you would have a Heat-Nets first-round matchup with the winner advancing to face the winner of the Raptors-Celtics in the second round, and a Sixers, let's just say Cavs, first-round matchup with a winner facing to advance the a winner advancing to face the winner of the Bucks-Bulls series. If you're the Bucks, there's no way to say, okay, this is exactly what we're going to get, but you want the Bulls. You want the Bulls or the Cavs, and you just want to make sure. We don't want a stretch that's going to be first-round Nets, second-round Celtics, and conference finals, the Sixers or the Heat. You don't want to have to go through 3 of those teams. You know you're going to have to go through 2. You don't want to have to go through 3. And right now, that's the silver lining to finishing 4th. We'll wrap up with the show after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's Jones feeding the right side. A heat check on the way. Melton delivers again. He is 6 of 8 from three-point range, and the fans are on their feet here at FedEx Forum. Timeout, Bucks.
A career night from D'Anthony Melton, who scored 24 points and hit some really big three-pointers in this game. 6 of them, to be exact. D'Anthony Melton, huge tonight for the Miami Heat, or for the Miami Heat, for the Memphis Grizzlies. Who would have thought it? It's a D'Anthony Melton. And again, Memphis, 17-2 this season in games Ja Morant does not play in. It's a really good team. Duh, it is a really, really good team. To to round off, to cap off this discussion we had on the standings here. Boy, this really shocked me. I knew last year, the race that we had for the top seed, it was right around about a week ago at that point on the schedule. Because remember, the season went on longer last year. We didn't start until the week of Christmas. So the season, the regular season, wrapped up around Mother's Day. It was mid-May. But it was about the midpoint of April when you started to look and see, okay, Sixers, Nets, and Bucks have all kind of separated themselves. And they were all within two games then of each other. Very similar to what we saw in the last week. But this stunned me. I knew it wasn't a lot, but do you know how many days the Bucks spent in first place last year?
First place in the East?
First place in the East.
10 days?
One day in first place. It was January 17th, basically a month into the season. That was the only time the Bucks were in first place last year. Basically this year as well. They were in first place on opening day when they beat the Brooklyn Nets. But one day that they spent in first place a season ago, and this year it is also one, which was opening night. A big one on Tuesday, the Bucks and the Nets, and we'll be back with Bucks Talk afterwards, presented by Gruber Law Offices.